This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the show. For the Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to welcome in on the BetQL guest hotline, Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team, presented by FH4 Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Absolutely the best for absolutely the best service. Call 877-CALL-FUR or visit FHFUR.com. Coach Rivera, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing all right, man. Frustrating, but I saw some positives. Let's try to keep it somewhat positive here, at least in the beginning. I mean, it sucks. I mean, you're racking up the L's, just sucks. But there were some signs from the defense, I thought, Coach. And you were moving the ball, right? You're between, yep. Between the 30s or whatever, just couldn't punch it in, which I think is kind of... I told the boys, you'll like this, Taylor scored in my book, because that's just stupid. I mean, of course he scored. I think they also botched it with putting the ball over the line or whatever, because he was laying on guys. Yeah, he wasn't down.
What'd you think about that?
So, I mean, in my opinion, we lost 24-17. Terry should have caught a touchdown, 24-24. I mean, who knows? I mean, I think there's some things
to
build
on. No, but
this
is what I said, Coach, and don't get pissed off, all right?
All right.
If that game was closer and, you guys cut it to 3 or 7, Aaron Rodgers would have made enough plays to win the game.
You don't know that.
Oh, I do know that.
You don't know that.
No. You don't know that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Go ahead, Coach.
Well, I expected you to say that, Coach.
Nah, it's the truth. I mean, at the end of the day, guys, that's why you play them, to find out.
Right. Well, so you agree. I mean, I thought there were some things to build. Now, there's some things in there that were frustrating, but some positive things to build on. Can you expand on that?
No, very much so. I mean, if you look at some of the things that are happening with the offensive line, I mean, on up until the very end when they got to pin their ears back and get after, the pass rush, I thought the offensive line was doing some solid things. We ran the ball effectively. Part of that, too, was Taylor scrambling. But for the most part, we threw the ball well. We got the ball downfield. We had guys making plays. Defensively, I thought, again, really, if you think about it, we limited their two top playmakers. I mean, we were able to keep them from running the ball well, and for the most part, if you're going to tell me we're going to hold Aaron Rodgers to what he did for the most part throwing it, we'd feel pretty good about it. Now, he did get us a couple times. He red man coverage both times and threw a couple of perfect balls for touchdowns. But that's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's one of the top guys. He'll be a Hall of Famer pretty soon.
Coach Rivera, we've focused on Chase Young a lot, and I think it's fair because the guy won Rookie of the Year last year, number 2 pick. I know that you've mentioned on this show Pro Football Focus grades, and Eric went through some of them earlier in the show, and they rated Chase low. What are you seeing from Chase? Because as fans, you kind of look for these big plays. Mm-hmm. Why isn't he having as many impact plays? Not necessarily a sack, but more deflections. We did see one.
More
Why
pressures.
Are we seeing that?
Yeah, well, I think a big part of it is people are game planning for him. I mean, if you look at some of the things that they do early on, they chip him constantly. They double him constantly. A lot of quick throws just to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands early. And guys like Aaron Rodgers, the veteran guys aren't going to sit there and hold on to the football. I'll tell you that much right now. But I do think you got to really, when you break the tape down, get an opportunity to sit there and say, well, how many true one-on-one rushes is he getting? And off of that, I think you can get a pretty good assessment as to how he's playing. He's had his moments. He's done some really nice things for us. But I do know, and he'll tell you too, he expects an awful lot from himself. He really does, as we do, because a guy like him can be an impact player, and he can take over a game. He showed that last year in the 49er game.
So you're saying that he's not making the splash plays because so the other three guys are getting more opportunities and making their splash plays because off or other coaches are game planning against Chase. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you see a lot of things that are pointing towards, you know, Chase is getting doubled. He's again, as I said, that he's constantly being chipped, as has Montez. Montez has been chipped a lot too.
You coached Julius Peppers, right? Or did he not overlap?
We overlapped. I mean, I had Julius for a couple of seasons, at the end of his career.
How would you compare Chase to Julius?
I think Chase is a younger version of who Julius became, and I think Chase has got an opportunity to grow and become that kind of player.
Hmm. It seems to me that the defense has picked up since Ioannidis has come back. He always jumps out at me. No one talks about him, and yet he's every week I see that guy making big plays. How important has he been, and is that part of the reason why it feels like the line? Look, they're nowhere near where we were hoping as fans to start the season they would be, but they're making some progress. I think a lot of it coincides with Ioannidis being there.
I think that's a big part of it. Although, remember last year. We lost Matt after the third game, and I thought the defensive mm-hmm. line came together well after that as well. So, I just think, again, what's happening is you're starting to see the improvement. You're starting to see guys grow and work together. But, hey, at the end of the day, guys, it's about winning. We're not winning football games right now. That's on us. That's on me. Mm-hmm. And we just got to continue to work hard, continue to get better every chance we get, every opportunity. And we'll see how it goes. But I do think Matt has been a big part of what we've done, and I don't disagree. We have gotten better as he's gotten back into football shape, and it's just really started to play well.
Now, I know you said you were happy with what Landon did. He had less of a role, but maybe it was more focused. Maybe it fits the defense a little better. I thought Danny Johnson came in, and we know him because he's been around for a few years, up and down, but he made some plays. I thought Danny Johnson filled in nicely.
Yeah, he did. He got a couple opportunities. Some of the things that they did played very well for his skill set. They did get him the one time on the touchdown, and again, that goes back to, in my opinion, the fact that you got a veteran quarterback that reads it, sees the guy, sees where in man coverage, and throws a back shoulder fade to a much taller guy. That again, he saw the matchup, he took advantage. So you got to give credit to the quarterback. But Danny did play well. I love the fact he tackled well, caused a fumble. Just a guy that really competes out there.
Coach, how concerned were you when you got the news that William Jackson III couldn't go and St. Juice gets the nod? He acquitted himself pretty well against, as you mentioned, an elite quarterback in the league in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. I mean, again, guys, William Jackson's really coming along. It's getting better and better within the scheme work of what we're trying to do. So, missing him was something of concern, but knowing that we have a young man that we like, that we drafted, we feel is growing, developing, and with him, it's just about getting more and more opportunities and working hard. You feel good about that.
Coach, you're probably not going to give me much on this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So since you took over, now you know how important a franchise quarterback is. You had him in Carolina. You're the number one pick. You hit on Cam Newton. You have now have five different starting quarterbacks since you took over here.
Yep.
Do you and the Martys talk about, maybe you do it once a week, a couple times a week, talk about a plan to obtain a franchise quarterback? Do you ever do that?
Constantly, guys. I mean, that's something you always talk about, and until you get one, you're always going to be looking. You're wondering is anybody on the current roster capable of developing? Is there a guy that's going to be out there in free agency? Is there a guy in the draft that we could do something for to get? Absolutely. We're always talking about it. And, I'll give you a little hint right now. I get a weekly update on all the college quarterbacks that I go through. And again, guys, we're constantly looking, and not just at the quarterback position, but, the other positions that we consider very, very vital. I mean, we think there's six core positions on offense and defense, and we're constantly looking at those six and trying to decide if we have guys that we feel really good about being in those positions.
I know there's not. You probably can't comment on a name, but is there a kid in college right now that you really like?
Right, because the reports have been that you guys don't like any of the guys coming out.
Well, that's great. Then I hope everybody keeps reporting that, because then everybody will think, well, they don't need a franchise quarterback then, so they won't worry about us in the draft.
Right. So there are guys that you definitely like. You know, I'm not asking you to name names.
Guys. There are. I mean, there are quarterbacks we like. There are quarterbacks that are in the NFL we like. And again, you have to go through this process. If you're not talking, if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're not talking about this weekly, well, then you're not paying attention. And we're trying to. We really are. You know, again, one of the things that I talked about the last, year and a half is, you know, if we couldn't get the franchise quarterback, what we would try to do is put playmakers and around him, put guys around him that we believe can protect him, and then that way when we feel we have found our guy, we've got the right situation for him to come into. That's what really, when we were looking at the draft last year and we felt there were a couple of guys we really liked and people wanted us to mortgage the future, we just felt we couldn't do it at this point, because if you mortgage the future but you don't have anybody around him to protect him, then what the heck, you know? Mm-hmm. So we really feel that now if we can continue to put pieces in place, guys like Sam Cosmi, you know, draft guys like that, build that up, you know, find the free agents like Aleno, you know, sign guys like Chase Roullier, try to see if we can get something done with Brandon, you know, feel good about what we have at those positions. Then you go out and you grab your quarterback. I mean, you know, so again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to put all those pieces in place so that when we do find the franchise guy, it's ready to roll. I mean, you know, we made a deal to bring Eric Flowers back because we know he's a big body guy that can help up front. So, you know, we're trying to put that in place. Then we're trying to get everybody, you know, healthy as far as the playmakers. I mean, you know, we signed Logan to a 3-year deal to keep him around. You know, we got Terry, who we're going to have to obviously work on. If we can get Curtis going again, get Curtis back out there and, you know, some of the other guys that we have as far as the playmakers, you know, then you feel good about plugging that guy in. And so, believe me, that's something that's high on our priority list as we go forward, is finding and identifying who's the franchise quarterback.
I appreciate the candor, Coach. Is it possible, though, that you could – I feel like you don't have the equity to go another year with another, like a Fitz type. And it's a shame that Fitz hasn't been able to show what he can do, right? I mean, we have to do something next year, right? So I feel bad for Fitz. Maybe he'll be able to show something late. But I don't feel like the fan base is going to tolerate this again.
Well, they shouldn't. Again, guys, this is about winning. And I get that part of it. That's why we're doing the things we're doing right now, to try and ensure we have those pieces in place.
Right.
You know, really, I mean, you know, if you go back and you look at how well this offensive line has protected the quarterback for the most part, you know, you would sit there and say, okay, they're putting that offensive line together. You know, and you watch Terry continue to grow, and then you see Logan was, as he was doing things, unfortunately, he got hurt. You know, but then you see Ricky Seals-Jones step up. And all of a sudden you go and say, wow, we've got two tight ends. We've got Terry on one end. You know, we got to get Curtis back on the field. You feel good about that. You bring in, you know, you bring in Diami, who can run, is going to blow the top off. And, you know, if we can keep him healthy, I mean, now all of a sudden you go, wow, they've got some pieces in place. Let's find that guy. And that's what we're trying to do.
Talking to Coach Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team. They're 2-5, take on the Denver Broncos next. Just one last thing, kind of theoretical and just kind of getting inside the war room there. So you got a trade deadline coming up in a week, right? November 2nd, 4 o'clock.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson's out there, franchise quarterback. Got some baggage for sure. How does it work behind the scenes? Because you have you, and I remember Snyder saying we're going with this coach-centric approach. Ron Rivera's in charge. But you do have the two Martys. So let's say somebody likes Deshaun Watson, says let's try and make a trade for him. How does it work? How do you collaborate? And who makes the final decision?
Okay, now let's make sure everybody knows, because I can't talk about a player on somebody else's roster right now.
Understood.
Right. All right.
Yeah. So again,
I'm saying,
you know,
hypothetically.
If you were to make a trade or with anybody in the league, you know, the idea is you sit down and you talk about it. Then you go back and you watch tape. Then you go back and you sit down with the coordinator and you talk about how that person would fit into what we do. Then you would sit there and you'd say, okay, now what are we willing to give up? Are we willing to give up some core players that we've put in place? Are we willing to give up draft picks for into the future? And then just decide, hey, if this is the type of package we want to offer and we're okay getting rid of, you know, a couple of first-round picks we've had the last couple of years and a couple of picks to come, you know, then you're willing to make that deal.
But who's making the final call? And would you have to take that
coaches.
To would you have to take that to the owner? I guess now it would be Tanya, right?
Well, we would most certainly have to take it to the ownership and let them, you know what we're thinking. And again, at the end of the day, you know, if the ownership is happy with it, we're going to do it. But it does come down to my decision, you know. But I'm going to try and get all the information, get everything I need, and make a smart decision that we believe is going to help this franchise. The thing you always have to be careful about, too, fellas, is making a trade that's going to set the franchise back not a year or two, but three or four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, this, you know, you're not just, you know, we're not in a position where we're playing for the now immediate got to have it, must get it done. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're not in that position right now. We're in the position of, hey, let's make sure we're building it right. We're putting the place pieces in place so that this can sustain it. You know, we got into Carolina, and again, as I look at some of these things retrospectively, you know, the one thing we wish we could have said was the picks after our first couple, our first three drafts, you know, how good were we with those to help sustain it? That's the thing that you have to look at, and we missed on a couple of those picks, and that kind of hurts you. So, you know, we feel good about what we've done. We feel good about the guys that are in place. We see the growth and development. And you sit there and say, God, if we get this next piece into place, you know, we'll feel pretty good about going forward.
Coach, what about dealing with Taylor here? And I actually, I'm a fan, so I get a kick out of watching him play. I mean, he frustrates me at times with the turnovers, et cetera. But I thought he played better this week. I loved the moving around, exactly what I was asking for. A little read option or a little whatever you call that stuff.
RPO.
A little RPO stuff. We saw a little of that. So I love that. I hate the interception. I hate that because when he's down, I do believe he presses. He tries to get it all back. We know that's an issue. So I wish he would learn from that. But here's one other aspect of the game that I would ask for you to just go ahead and talk to Scott and put this in this week, please. Thank you. I want more up-tempo stuff. He did that in college. I just feel like he would thrive in that situation.
You love quick game.
Yeah, put the defense on their heels a little bit. No huddle. You know what I mean? Let's get up there. The kid's been around a while now.
You heard my statistical analysis last week.
I'm taking it from you. He knows the offense. You trust him. Let's do this. Let's speed him up. Let's give this kid every opportunity to be at his best.
Well, you know, I do agree with what you said about giving him an opportunity to be at his best because – one of the things that he did was he played with his personality this past week.
Yep.
You know, that hair on fire, go for it, give it his all type of thing. And his teammates feed off of that energy. And again, I don't disagree that he does press a little bit. You know, he tried to float a ball in and he underthrew it just a touch. If he could throw that out towards the pylon, more to the corner, it gives Adam Humphrey an opportunity to make a play. And unfortunately, it was just a little bit short. So, you know, there are a lot of things we can do to help him and help the offense.
What about up-tempo stuff? You know what I mean? Get to the line of scrimmage. Be like Peyton Manning. Call the play at the line of scrimmage. Let's go. Let's move this a little quicker, maybe.
I love the ideas you're giving me, but let's don't talk about them so everybody else can hear them.
All right.
Coach,
talk to Scott for me.
How frustrated were you for Gibson when he broke through the line and then he tripped over Flowers' legs? I thought that was the big one, like the 50 or 60 yarder that I know that you guys have been waiting for. It seems like he's been close on a lot of those, but especially in that play.
That was one, you know, because it's tough because, again, one of the things you want the young guys to learn to do is press through the creases, and that was a great one. He held it. He held the line. He went to step through. Obviously, he caught his leg, and it was disappointing because he had been up to the safety real quickly, and now if he can get the safety to miss, who knows, because he's got deceptive speed. We saw that when we played Buffalo when he caught the screen pass, so – he pressed the hole very nicely. He hit the seam. Unfortunately, he did trip, though. But that was a tough one to watch. And on tape, it looks great. And then of course, obviously, you see him trip.
Coach, thanks as always for the time. Best of luck preparing for Denver and get that win heading into the bye.
We got it.
We'll talk to you soon.
We got it this week, Coach. I know we got it.
Really?
I appreciate it, fellas.
Yep. All right, Coach.
All right, thank you.
You seem real confident.
That's Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team. He's presented by FH for plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and electrical. Absolutely the best. For absolutely the best service, give them a call at 877-CALL-FUR or visit FHFur.com.
He disagreed with me on Aaron Rodgers making a play when he really needed it.
He did disagree on that.
Well, he's got to defend his guy.
No, I get that. I'm just wondering.
You're never going to have a coach of his own team.
I get it.
You know what? You're right. Aaron Rodgers would.
But I know. But deep down, he knows I'm right.
All right.
Publicly, he's going to tell me I'm wrong.
You know your audience.
Deep down, he knows I'm right.
All right. When we come back,
if you have a brain in your head, you know I'm right.
We'll get into EB's entertainment page. He will entertain the masses next.
Oh no.
Here on the Fan.
Keep eating.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. If you missed the Ron Rivera interview, download the Odyssey app. If you haven't already, get the rewind feature and you can listen to it right on your phone, wherever you might be.
We had a little bit of an issue with it this morning, right? I know we don't like to talk about those kinds of things, but we got it worked out.
Odyssey app's good.
We're all good. We had a workaround, but now it's up and running.
We're good to go.
Right. Good.
I don't know what you took away from that interview. I took away this. He basically just told us they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round.
I didn't take that. I took they're going to bring in another quarterback.
Yeah.
Likely to draft, but he also threw in there and other quarterbacks in
they're
the league.
They're looking everywhere.
Okay. They're looking everywhere.
All right, but they can't sign a quarterback. There won't be a free agent
good
enough.
They're not going to bring in another bum, I don't think.
Now, maybe they trade for a big name, but I think they will draft a quarterback.
I think they're going to bring in...
Might be a reach, but they're desperate.
I think they might bring in an established veteran if they could pull something off.
If they can we play the guys clip again? Because he gave it to us.
He did give it to us.
Guys.
That's when he gets frustrated.
It was a four guys.
Yeah.
That's when he gets frustrated.
What was that in reaction to? I can't remember.
That was, what was it in reaction to? I've forgotten already.
Guys.
And the first guys is really pronounced, and then he's muted with the next three.
I also have a bet with Cakes that I promise you, because I am a co-associate coach of the team, apparently, because all my suggestions happen the next week. They will run two-minute offense this week outside the two-minute
window. Yeah.
Now, we need
so
more,
not in a typical two-minute situation.
Just, like,
but why would you get credit for that when I brought it up first?
Because I brought it up to coach.
I'll give you both credit for it.
It's very gray area. Like, I need tangible, like, how
I
many
I told
plays.
Coach last week we needed to run some zone read, you know, read options of RPOs. I told him we needed Taylor to run around
now,
again.
He did say that they called that the week before. It's just Taylor chose not to go with the option.
But, you know, whatever. All of a sudden, he starts doing it. I think it was emphasized in the meeting after you listened to old EB, the voice of the fans.
Hey, do you think how some teams watch tape or film that they play your podcast in the meeting room?
No.
And just say, here, listen to what Coach EB has to say.
Well, if they do, it's a big brain drain.
But I do think these guys are
tell
all,
you that.
I do think they're all human, and you plant bugs in their ears, and I think that you'd be surprised how you can influence people.
The other thing, as I'll say, he took ownership, and we knew that this was supposed to be the case, but I just hadn't heard in a while that it all runs through him. So Marty can say this.
Yeah,
and the other Marty
can say that. That's what Coach said.
I know.
You said it yourself.
But he reconfirmed it. So whatever happens at quarterback,
it's on
there's
him.
One guy to blame.
Oh, yeah. He can't throw the Martys under the bus if it doesn't work.
He took the blame for the
L's. He's the grocery shopper.
Yep.
He's all of it.
Now, all that being said, if I'm Ron Rivera and I don't want to just get paid and go live in Bermuda or whatever with my $35 million, whatever I'm
in
making
Pebble.
Here.
Right? He's got a silly house in Pebble.
It'll be
now,
in Pebble.
Now, there's a lot to be said for just being fired as soon as possible and going. The easiest way to get fired is draft a rookie quarterback, in my opinion. So you might hit.
If you're in your third year.
You say he's self-sabotaging? He's a self-saboteur?
No, I was going to say the opposite. If I'm Ron, I would actually lean towards a veteran, like a proven guy. That's what they did with Fitz. But
I've
I mean, a
that,
younger proven guy.
Well, that's why he played Alex Smith so early
since
last year.
Since he signed
year.
Fitz, I've said he's going to keep bringing in vets.
Well, that's not going to be
time.
The answer.
Well, then maybe it's not
no,
the answer.
No, he ain't going to win that way.
Maybe it's what he's comfortable with.
But if he could pry a car, which I know he can't, but someone like that – he would do that before he would draft an unknown. The unknown, because they're just so dicey.
Maybe not. I don't know.
But if he can't do that, then he's going to be forced to.
That's what I'm saying.
If he can't,
he's not going to be able to get Derek Carr.
I agree.
He's not going to get Baker Mayfield.
No, but he might get the quarterback from Liberty.
Yeah, Malik Willis. I know you love him. He's not going to get, who were we just talking about? Deshaun Watson. They're not getting those guys.
Deshaun, if they're willing to throw character completely out the window. Maybe they would.
Which would be against what Ron has been all about.
Yeah, I think it'd be hard to justify.
And but, kind of what the organization has been doing for two
years.
That's
fine, but the thing he's most about is Dobbs.
I agree.
His wins. He might have to. He might have to just might say, you know what? might have to entertain Deshaun Watson.
Innocent until proven guilty, right?
Sure.
Well, we'll see.
And I'm not trying to minimize all the charges against him. But if somehow you're able to get him exonerated, or they get settled out of court, and he's eligible to play,
the problem is the pattern
then he has
of behavior
to be considered.
The pattern of behavior is scary.
Oh, I'd be concerned about that, no doubt.
But that's been ignored in a million cases from different things all the time. Happens all the time.
It does.
People ignore patterns of behavior.
It does. It just my football team.
With everything that's happened to this team off the field, with the
all of the issues.
I can't imagine they're going to bring in a guy who was accused of some stuff that was worse.
I don't think you can. I understand. In this particular instance, I don't think you can. Otherwise, I'd be all for it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I just don't think you can. All right, hit the music, Valdez. Try to entertain you this week.
EP brought to you by our friends at Wave Soda. Go to wavesoda.com, enter our code JUNKIES, 15% off your order. A good deal.
I would ask you, I need an update on the Alec Baldwin situation.
Yeah, that's going to be my lead story.
All right.
All right, so I don't have that many updates other than, it's all just sort of rumor and speculation at this point.
There's some witness accounts, I think.
There are some witness accounts. A lot of people are upset. They say that they were it was a very low-budget deal. You had people walking off set beforehand because they thought the safety issues. You had crew members walking off before this happened because you had other guns misfiring. They had actually gotten to the point now where they had this 24-year-old girl, Green. She even had said to people that she didn't think she was necessarily up for this job.
I think her father was
some sort of weapons coordinator.
She was given the job, and then they also were hamstrung, according to some people, by these COVID restrictions, such that they're leaving the guns like on a gun rack, but you couldn't even be there with them because they didn't want extra people on set and COVID and stuff. So they're just like leaving guns out there, and then there's like a chain of custody thing. They're leaving guns on set outside of things, and then guys just pick them up. And then what was happening is some of the crew, and this is what was making people crazy, were apparently using some of the guns for like target practice and stuff. So what you ended up happening was the nightmare scenario having live rounds in with some prop, whatever.
Mixed together.
The crew was literally doing, going shooting.
Yeah.
Shooting cans off of a fence post.
Guns are just sitting there. They're on there shooting beer cans.
Well, they were in the middle of nowhere. Middle of the desert.
Middle of New Mexico.
I kind of give Alex a little bit of, Alec, whatever his name is, give him a little bit of a defense because he doesn't think there's a live round in there, obviously.
Well, I think even somebody's job on the set, and I think they said it, was to say it's cold.
Yes.
Meaning that it's blank.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, they didn't say
and then
that.
He was just doing rehearsal. No, I think they did say it.
That it's cold. Well,
thinks he's got something that's not going
to
do anything.
What I've also heard, though, is anybody that holds a gun, you have to do your own check and say it takes 1 second. You check to see if it's loaded.
You check the barrel. And if there's
so there is some culpability on both sides. Also, Alec is one of the producers, which is a big issue because,
here's my question. How is there not someone who, whenever you were getting ready to film a scene with a gun, why isn't there someone there that does that already? That checks the barrel.
Well,
they
supposedly had an older guy. That was his job.
He should be charged.
That guy's in trouble.
Well,
the girl's going to be in trouble.
It's negligence.
The question is Alec going to be in trouble? He's probably going to be in trouble as a producer, if nothing else.
Well, I had heard that one guy that you're talking about was fired from other sets or companies.
True.
Because of that same situation.
True.
And they brought him in.
They also had crew members walk off the set, apparently, because there had been at least two other gun misfires on the set.
That sounds like the low budget of low budget production.
Well, how is someone in their right mind who's a cast member or crew member taking a gun, going shoot target practice, and then just saying, all right, I'm done, and then just throwing it back on the rack without doing anything?
It's stupidity and negligence.
Was
it 100% a live round, or was it a blank that misfired and had some shrapnel?
My understanding is a live round.
I've been hearing
I
live
read somewhere
around.
That it was actually a blank, but it was shrapnel or something like that.
I don't believe so. I believe it was a live round. But you know,
I feel mixed. Number one, you feel bad for the families that lost their loved ones, which I guess just one person died. The other person was in the hospital. But
of course,
I couldn't imagine if I was an actor and I'm doing a rehearsal and it's a Western and you're having a scene where in a Western, which you've seen a million Westerns, you shoot a gun, 100% accident, you kill somebody, you still got to deal with that.
Oh, you're going to live with that the rest of your life.
Well, that's why I said after the story,
you're in a Western.
How can he ever act again? How can he ever bring himself to go on a set and act like another person?
I don't know. It's no different than in some ways, if you drive into somebody and kill somebody.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you consider to work in that industry.
But
that's
what
I said. If you were coming out here, even if it wasn't your fault, some guy just jumped out in front of your car.
That's a little different.
I could probably get over it.
Just take time.
Well,
sure.
that's different.
It depends.
That's different than being negligent. If it was my fault, that's totally different.
See, my understanding is anybody that holds a gun is taught you got to look at it, and then you never point it at somebody, even in the movies. You know, so I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't understand it.
They also said that it was dangerous because they had cast members behind people. They say you should never. That's like these gun safety things. They just it was the Wild Wild West, Kate.
Apparently it was. Yes.
It was the Wild Wild West. So anyway, I'm no gun expert. It's a tragedy for all involved. So
I can't believe that the donks are out there practicing. They're shooting to get with. Refried bean cans.
Sounds like a really professional setting.
No, it was a mess. That's why people literally walked off the set. You had crew members walk off.
Yeah.
They were in kind of crisis. That's why the 24-year-old chick was in charge of it all.
Don't be an ageist.
Huh?
Some 24-year-olds are capable.
Yeah, okay, but this is a very, very...
She just was underqualified.
Yeah, it was very, very...
True, but the other guy we just talked about, he's a veteran in the business. Yeah. He knows...
Yeah, but she was his boss. 24-year-old was his
I think
boss.
That's because he was fired.
Yeah, all right, we've just scratched
it's just
the surface
stupidity is what it is.
Of the EP, because EB was self-sabotaging his own EP about 10 minutes ago. So we'll finish up with more EP stories next here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Junk's 25th anniversary is presented by PenFed Credit Union. Whether you're in uniform or not, you can apply today at PenFed.org.
All right, Valdez is telling me maybe we should go to this guy, Chip. Is it Chip? All right, let me see here. Chip's been on hold for a while.
I think Jason behind the scenes has already straightened this out. But
I don't know what it's about.
Chip, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, I'm calling to give a shout-out to Lurch.
All right, what did Lurch do?
Friday night, I walk into the Mellow Mushroom in Blacksburg, and there's six of us, especially two hangry wives, and the wait's an hour. We walk up, and there are three empty chairs at the end of the bar, so we take those, and then Lurch calls me over and hands me an empty chair. I'm looking at him, I'm like, man, I know this guy, I must have gone to school with him here, and it hits me. So I go up and shake his hand, I get to meet his wife, and our wives were not hangry anymore, so... Thank you, Lurch, for hooking us up. And it was nice to meet you.
Is Mellow Mushroom that pizza joint?
It's a pizza chain. It's mostly in college towns.
There's one near about you, I think, right?
In Ashburn?
Ish or Herndon. I think there's one nearby.
I don't know, but there's definitely one in Blacksburg.
I think there's one in Herndon. You're right, EB.
Yeah.
I've never been to that one. But yes, yeah. I did give you the chairs. We were leaving. We got our
so to-go. Benevolent.
Look at that.
And I hooked you up. You had you're a nice dude.
Why
your
did
wife
you hook
was
up the guy?
Very nice.
Was his wife hot or something?
She was very cute. Yeah.
Just being a nice guy.
I was just being nice because we had empty chairs there. And they needed five.
Yeah, but out there, Linnell's the world's worst listener because. And maybe I wasn't listening very well, but he's like, hey, there's this guy on the line who says you bought him a bed.
Mm-hmm.
It went from, I bought somebody a bed?
It went from buying beds or sheets for a bed to just giving him a chair at Mellow Mushroom.
Interesting.
I'm not following it. You bought the guy a bed?
No.
But another guy?
There's just bad communication all the way around.
Linnell had some bad phone screening, I guess.
And it happens.
It was so out of character for Jason to just randomly buy a guy a bed.
Yeah.
No,
but it is in character for Lurch at a bar to be very kind to people, pull up a chair. Like, he's very friendly at a bar.
Well, we were leaving.
Okay.
So
okay.
The two chairs we were in.
Common courtesy.
We were leaving, and they had five people or four people.
I'm just telling you, Jason is a fun guy at a bar.
No, you were reliving your college days in Blacksburg?
Yeah, I was reliving. That's the only reason I went down there, just so I could go to Mellow Mushroom.
You're doing that bit?
Yeah.
You're in Blacksburg more than Beamer.
By the way, I was hanging out with Frank Beamer in his suite at Lane Stadium.
No, you're hanging out with rich and powerful people.
My buddy Wynn, who's a big donor at Tech, he goes, come on up. He got me two passes. He said, come on up. I want you to meet Frank. So we go up the elevator. Wynn's suite's ridiculous.
I'm sure it is.
I mean, absurd. He goes, come on.
What does Wynn do for a living?
He's just very wealthy.
Okay.
He started a company and sold it.
Oh, that's the dream.
Can you just.
And so we went to Frank Beamer's suite. And hello, coach, how you doing? And my buddy goes, hey, you ever heard of the Sports Junkies, coach? I hate that.
Never do that.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you kick him out of the suite?
That's a horrible bit.
But coach goes, yeah, I think so. He didn't.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, coach, we had you on about 15 years ago.
We
been
had
a while.
Him on a few times.
Yeah.
Because
we had rights to the Hokie football.
Yeah.
Who's our poker guy from the – I've never seen him without the Tech – gear.
Oh, he Macaulay.
Does Macaulay
have a suite there?
No, he does not.
Who knows? I will never.
I was about to call McSorley.
After my experiences doing the pregame show many, many moons ago, like when we did them in public, I'll never ask anybody if they ever listen to the show
it's
again.
It's embarrassing.
Because we used to do that. We used to go like table to table, like interrupting people's like dinners or lunches. Like, hey, I'm Cakes from the Junkies. You listen to the show.
So
spread the word, Cakes.
And they would look at me like, who is this weird person that's approaching me? And it'll never happen again.
Mr. Bickle, it was embarrassing.
If somebody comes to me.
But coach was very nice. He was
I'm
very
sure
nice.
Did you go to Center Street again, Bud Foster?
Hold on.
Did you carry the lunchbox?
Oh, by the way, I met Bud Foster, too. He was at the hotel lobby bar with me.
Who haven't you met?
Shocker. He meets everybody at the bar.
It was the hotel lobby.
Yeah.
But we walked through Center Street to get to Green Street where we were tailgating. So I didn't go to Center Street by choice.
Serious question. I know we've asked you this periodically, but I'd like to get an update from you.
Yeah.
Give me the poorest guy that you hang out with.
Valdez.
No, but you don't.
I know.
But like, honestly, is there anyone in your circle that's kind of nubby?
Yeah, I got a couple nubbies.
You do?
A couple nubby
and like
friends.
You like them?
A couple nubby friends.
And you like them?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Corner Club?
Fade.
Just done. It ran its course.
That's a nice
Didn't
run.
You guys have like satin jackets?
Yeah, we had jackets made.
Yeah, or pullovers.
Oh, pull
what did you say again?
Oh, what did he
Captain
say?
Hooked or something?
Yeah. Captain Hooked.
Yeah. Hey, can you go to the film director? I want to see if he's got any legitimate reason why this would happen.
All right.
I think it's just stupidity. But.
Mike, what's up?
Stupidity jail.
Hey, guys. Yeah. How's it going?
Hey, Mike, buddy. How are you, Mike?
Big fan of the show.
What
Big
are your
fan of DC Sports.
What are your bona fides? What makes you a legit film director?
Well, so I directed mostly independent features, and I produced
Pornos.
A lot of independent features back. No, I didn't do any of those. But so how it works really is that when you get anything with a firearm on the set, you have a prop master. It's different than like a regular prop guy who would hand you a plate or something, right?
Yeah.
Now that prop master is trained in firearms, and they're the only person that's supposed to touch the gun.
Right.
Okay. They bring it on the set, the hot set, which is where we're lighting and we're ready to do everything. And everybody huddles around. The AD, the producer, the director, and the cinematographer, the DP, which unfortunately in this case she died.
Right.
Okay, and they all sit around and they open the gun up. The prop master goes, "Okay, I'm delivering the gun to the set. As you can see, it's unloaded, or there's a blank in it. Now, if there's a blank in it, that could still kill you because the pressure from the gun, mm-hmm. it could, you know, if you put a gun with a blank in your head, it'd still kill you. Just there's no bullet comes out. So they close the gun up and they hand it to the actor. And they say, okay, so in this case, Alec Baldwin, you're the only person who's supposed to touch this gun. We get up, we do the scene, he shoots the gun, cut, he immediately hands it back to mm-hmm. the prop master.
Right.
And that's it. So I don't know what they were doing. Now, I've been on some low-budget films where, you know, one guy grabbed a gun and he was pretending it, and the assistant director actually tackled him. Because it's their job, the assistant director, to basically control the safety of the set. So I don't know what – I haven't been on a set since COVID, and I don't know what happened with this film, but Alec Baldwin was producing it, so it's much a little bigger budget. So I have no idea.
They were just negligent. They were just negligent. That's what it was.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean
– it conflicting reports, because I think it was a blank in the gun from what I read. Not like a regular old bullet.
I heard it was a live round that went through.
Remember, there was one fire, so far that's been reported. It went through her body and lodged into the director's shoulder. That's not a blank.
I think it was a live bullet. But
I've read different reports, like one that shrapnel.
Yeah.
I think they mistakenly gave him a live round.
Yeah. And that's why he said, "Why'd you give me a hot gun?" Allegedly.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. Crazy. It's a nightmare scenario. Remind me, Casey, my bitter, next movie to how never bitter would be on set with guns.
How bitter would you be if you're the father of that girl and no one's charged?
Well, the thing is, even when you charge them, that's not going to do anything. I mean, maybe you feel a little bit. I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
like, nothing's going to make you feel good.
Thankfully, we didn't have a gun scene in Potomac Dawn.
That's correct.
Or the movie that we did with Jack Black.
Nobody handled it.
Fire's over.
What was it called?
D-Train. I don't know why we keep hyping up the fact that we're there.
Our best credit is Oz.
I mean,
or no.
Oz.
The Wire. Same thing.
I mean,
The Wire.
This show is tethered to one of the biggest box office bombs in recent history in D-Train with Jack Black.
We got to get our guy us in that, the director.
Like David?
Yeah, I got to get David to redeem us. He's got to get us in a winner.
I don't even care about that. How about just scrub us from that movie? Okay, scrub us from ever being involved.
Why are you worried about it? Nobody's watching it.
I know. It's just, here's why. Because it's embarrassing. And every few years it's brought up.
And by the way, Cakes is in. And we do know this because people tweet us. Cakes is in the tennis documentary about Marty Fish for like 3 seconds, apparently.
Who knew I ever had uttered the words Marty Fish or talked about him, but I guess at some point during our
we had him in studio.
Okay, well, you think I remember having Marty Fish in studio?
I kind of do, too. I feel like he sat right here. I
mean, he sat right there.
I mean, I'm sure he did, but he's not memorable. He's Marty Fish.
He's a silly golfer, I believe, right?
He was a tennis player and a golfer. See, you disrespect golfers, and he was a professional tennis player.
Sure, he's great, but he's Marty Fish at the end of the day.
He had mental issues.
But we also had the other guy that was a tennis who played for the...
Tiafo?
No, we had Tiafo, but the other guy.
You know who
other tall white guy.
Oh, I know.
Big server.
Yeah.
Who was it we had? He was playing for the Washington team.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Kevin something?
No.
He was a monster server, kind of blondish.
If Jimmy Connors sat in that seat, or Yvonne Lendl, or John McEnroe, those I would remember. Marty Fish slips the brain a little bit.
I don't think I'd book Yvonne Lendl. He wouldn't have much to say, would he?
Lendl could be silly.
I'd book him for a week straight.
He could be silly.
That was my guy.
I'd be surprised to have any of those old dogs.
I get the feels when E.B. wears his old Argyle zip-up Adidas.
Slobodan, whatever his name was.
Slobodan Djokovic? No, Slobodan Zivinovic or something like that.
Yeah. You love Thomas Muster?
Thomas Muster was my
It's killing me now that you got me thinking about the guy in the castles with the big serve that was in here.
Was I here that day? Do you remember?
Yeah, no, I think he did our show twice, like 2 years in a row.
Minutia. Yeah. Caught the weeds.
It was Sam Querrey, by the way.
That's it.
That's who we had in.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
him.
That's who
He's
it was.
He's the new Marty Fish.
I don't remember.
You might have been on
vacation.
You might have been on vacation.
I'm usually off all summer.
That's a great day.
You took three straight weeks off.
You get a stern vacation.
Man, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Just make that happen.
It gets iced.
It's the best.
It gets iced.
All right, tomorrow's Wednesday, Cakes. Get into Almost a Friday. Almost.
We're getting there. We're getting close. All right, we got to get out of here. We are done for the day. We'll see you tomorrow. Our friends of B. Mitch and Finley coming up next right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.